Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today, people say they wear two hats. He has many hats in his role. This is Nate Tolles. He is the marketing manager for WorkBC's Assistive Technology Services. You may have heard of the program, but we're going to expand your knowledge about this program operated by Neil Squire in British Columbia. Neil Squire is a social impact organization operating as a nonprofit and registered charity in Canada. It's been revolutionizing the lives of Canadians with disabilities since 1984 through accessible and adaptive technology. Nate has a longstanding background in retail, wholesale, and business-to-business sales and marketing activities. Our discussion today is going to focus on a new program that can benefit British Columbians called WorkBC Assistive Technology. These are services that are done along with other work at Neil Squire. So we'll be hearing about that. But Neil,
you know what? I get called
you talk
Neil.
So much. You talk so much about him. You embody that I feel like
I get
like
called Neil
here.
Every week.
We call Neil into the room. Tell us a little more about Neil Squire.
Sure. Thank you, Charlotte. And so good to be with you today. So it all started from actually kind of a horrible start. It was a car accident where Neil's vehicle left the road and tumbled several times. And Neil was left as what they call a tetraplegic, which means he was paralyzed from the neck down, unable to move his arms and legs. But Neil's paralyzation was so high, he could no longer breathe independently. So he was hooked up to a machine to help his lungs operate. And because of that trach device in his throat, very quickly, he lost his ability to speak because any muscle you don't lose, you use, you lose. And it became very painful for him to speak. He was really down to a whisper not long after his accident. And like I say, it became very painful. So his cousin, Bill Cameron, was an engineer. And Bill and a couple other team members developed a technology using sip and puff with Morse code so that Neil could sip and puff Morse code and it would show up on a monitor that at the time was an Apple IIe interface. And that was Neil's new way to communicate using sip and puff and Morse code to communicate with friends and family and caregivers at the time in 1980, 81, 82, 83. And in 84, sadly, Neil had a couple health setbacks back to back and passed rather suddenly in 1984. And that group of people, Charlotte, that was working with him, didn't want his legacy to end there. And so they started the Neil Squire Foundation. In 1986, they achieved a nonprofit and registered charitable status. And here we are, 41 years later. And Neil Squire's in 8 Canadian provinces. We just opened up in Yellowknife. We run a whole variety of programs, one of which is the one I'm the marketing manager for, the Assistive Technology Program here in British Columbia, affiliated with the WorkBC Centers. And that's our superpower, Charlotte, is most of the people we work with have some sort of physical barrier to the world. They identify as having a disability. And our superpower is assistive technology to help them minimize or overcome that barrier, if you will, most specifically as it relates to work or training-related activities. Employment is our big thing.
A question about that, because I've heard of Neil Squire and a few other people have, but I've been to WorkBC and seen sometimes people don't want to answer the question on a job application that asks if you have a disability.
Yeah.
Some people have had the experience of saying yes, and while they say we will customize or alter the jobs, modify the job for you, they don't get a call back. I had an experience personally like that with the place that I disclosed that I had a disability, and he was supposed to do demonstrations, demonstrate food and demonstrate. And I noticed everyone was standing. I said, "Well, do you all have a stool? Or, there's a slant stool." And oh, they said, "Oh, we've been told by the company if anyone asks for a stool, to not invite them back for the third interview." And I said, "Isn't that illegal?" So then I spoke with one of the counselors at one of the Work BC offices, and I said, "Do you follow up, or is there a way of making sure that people who have a hidden disability or visual physical challenge don't get discriminated against because they answered that question that way?" And then that led into my experiencing having an interview and coming to learn about this program and how it would personally benefit me. A person past 65 and a person that sometimes people will say, well, when I first talked about going to Work BC, they said, "Oh, well, the province expects people 65 to be retiring." I said, "Will you please send the province my rent bill?" But can you
Yes.
explain how that connection, what if somebody's wondering how to get involved, get us interviewed for the assistive technology, how does that process work?
Yeah. Great question. There's two groups of people we serve. The commonality is the disability or the barrier, Charlotte. And the one group of people is a Work BC client, somebody trying to get in the workforce, and they have a barrier and they need an assistive technology or an adaptive device. We can provide that in many cases, not every case. There's all sorts of, rules that we have to follow, but if they self-identify this barrier, that creates a barrier to job search or a training program or the eventual job they secure at Work BC, that's a reason for the Work BC team to refer that individual to us through a mechanism at Work BC. And then the other group of people that we serve, they're in the workforce. They have a job, part-time, full-time, or self-employed, but they have that barrier to their work-related activities, whatever it might be. And now, as you probably know, and many people on this call may know, and I think you referenced it, employers are supposed to accommodate the needs of somebody when the individual identifies. The individual doesn't have to identify what their disability is. The individual would need to identify what accommodation they need to accomplish certain tasks in the workforce. So we fill that gap. That's our role, Charlotte, is to assess that individual by one of our occupational therapists, understand the situation they're dealing with, the barrier that they have, how it impacts their work-related or training-related activities or job search-related activities if they're a Work BC client, and then provide if there's something available that'll help minimize or overcome that barrier. That's our role to provide that tool. And there's thousands of different devices that can help people, depending on many, very, very many factors, obviously. But we individualize the process for that person in front of us.
And when we talk about processes, can you give an example of a process that has been simplified by the way that people are followed up after their job counselor at, well, the connection between the job counselor at the Work BC centers, because there's a plan that they put up on the walls that you can come in, get help writing your resume, get help doing a cover letter. Get help with learning how to use a marketing or promotion system like Work BC's or LinkedIn or some of the different systems, and then to do a job search, do 25. How seriously do you think people take that, or what examples have you of people following through with that process?
Yeah, so I can't really speak to what happens in the Work BC employment centers as far as job search, but I could give you an example of if, let's say, it's a person with low vision or they're blind and they can't go onto the internet and read websites like a sighted person. There's technology that we can employ that are called screen readers that would allow a piece of technology to read to that individual what's on the screen. If somebody lacks the ability to do keyboarding and micing because of arthritis or a lack of hands or injuries to their hands where they can't keyboard and mouse and mice, mouse, mice, meese. There's many different ways today to get that spoken word into text. So speech to text technology that would allow them to create a resume, send an email to a prospective employer, and do many, many things. So we're not involved in what happens at the WorkBC Employment Center. That's a whole different contractor that's providing that service. Our role is to, once they send us a client with a disability, determine how that barrier is impacting those activities at WorkBC, and then we provide the tools to minimize or overcome that.
It seems that you're working with two levels of awareness, one among the public, but you also are working with levels of awareness with employers or potential employers.
Yeah, correct. So those potential employers would be people the WorkBC clients are being referred to, and then the people that are in the workforce, again, mostly working in a small business, because of that duty to accommodate. When somebody that's in the workforce applies, the first question we have to ask them is, have you spoken to your employer? And then we know three things happen. One, like you already mentioned, Charlotte, maybe they don't want to tell their employer. And while we believe in disclosure, we do at Neil Squire, we know the number one principle there is it's the individual's right to or not to disclose. But right under that, we do believe in disclosure because then we know some stuff can happen. Number two, they go to their employer and the employer says, "Oh my goodness, thanks for telling us. We want to get you whatever you need." And then we don't hear from those people either. And then the third answer is, "Well, I'm sure glad you told us, but we're not in position, or we don't have the resources, or we're not really sure what to do. And we're a small business. We don't have it in the budget this year." That opens a path for us to work with that client and the employer to do that assessment, understand what that individual needs, get them what they need. And then we will often involve the employer to contribute at least to the assistive technology. Nobody ever has to contribute to the cost of the assessment or the cost of working with our assistive technology specialist, or if there's training involved, that's all covered by the program. But it is a contribution model that will either ask contribution from the employer or the individual if they have the financial wherewithal to contribute. If neither do, the program's well funded, and we'll get them the tools they need.
I learned about the program through a flyer that was on the wall at Midtown BC Works, and I would encourage, maybe I was just a nosy child or the person who like notes and, but whenever I go in, I look at all of the things on the wall. And
Yeah.
one day that I was in, I saw in six different places information about Neil Squire, information about assistive technology, even that word is something new within the language. Talking to people and asking them, do you know about assistive technology? But I think your material is well publicized, and I'm saying through to our listeners, when you go into the work center, spend a little bit of time in there, nose around and see what's on the walls. And then if you find the flyer, you could ask one of the counselors, ask for an appointment with one of the WorkBC counselors to talk about the program and get a better understanding. And then they do a questionnaire with you. And so we have to sometimes release feeling like, oh, the government is invasive, to look at the government wants some questions answered because it enables you to get things that you might, find beneficial. When you mentioned things like desk for your home. Somebody told me that they had gotten an adjustable desk. My doctor had indicated that if I had a desk that could, where I could stand up sometime and sit down sometime, it would be very good for my back. But who would have believed it if you hadn't pursued to look on the wall, read what was there, and then just have found each of the things that they have spoken about have been, you know, wonderful. I mean, I come in sometimes, you know, visiting the office. I'm in the program. It's called Computer Comfort. And I'd like to have you say something about that. I don't know whether there's anyone available right now from Computer Comfort, but can you explain or give us the highlights of that program?
Yeah, 100%. You know, before I do that, the comment you made about being nosy as a child and you know, it's good for you, Charlotte, because our biggest challenge with any of these programs is the awareness piece.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't you agree in 2025, don't we have access to more information than ever? Yet, doesn't it seem like it's never been harder to find out what, where to get the services? Because there's so much, it's like you got to sift through 100 different things just to find the one thing that somebody needs. So we appreciate that you're a little nosy and you read all those flyers on the bulletin board, because that's what got you to us. So good on you. Computer Comfort is a training program. We have two programs that are identical. One is called Distance Computer Comfort, and distance is the key word there. It just means you can't physically come into one of our offices that offers that training. So we use Zoom, like we're using today to record this interview. And then Computer Comfort means you can physically come into our office here in Burnaby. We have an office in Regina that does this. And I'm pretty sure we do this in our offices in New Brunswick as well. But Computer Comfort is a program where we're looking to teach people that identify as having a disability how to use a computer, how to use software, how to use the Microsoft suite of products, how to set up an email program, maybe how to use Zoom, maybe how to use social media, how to use an iPhone or an iPad or an Android phone or tablet, how to use certain assistive technologies. And when it's Distance Computer Comfort, we're doing it online with either one of our paid staff members or some of our amazing volunteers that we have across the country. And when you do Computer Comfort, which is, excuse me, the in-person training, usually with you're working with one of our paid staff members, like you're working with Curtis, I think most times, and he's doing it in live, in person with you in our computer lab here in Burnaby. And what we do is we get an idea. There's no set curriculum, which is the magic to the program. What we do is get an understanding of where the individual's at, what it is that they're trying to learn, and then we'll customize a learning a curriculum for you that's like an hour a week. I'm sure Curtis sends you home with some homework or some ideas of what to practice on. And we do that over a 10 to 12 week period. And if somebody needs a computer, they don't have a good working computer, we can gift them a refurbished laptop, usually a desktop. But we get those donated to us, and we clean those machines up. We erase all the data from them. We load a new set of Microsoft, usually Microsoft Windows 11 on there, 10 or 11. I think we're using 11 now. And we gift that to the individual to use for the training, and then they get to keep it after the training is done. And that's part of our program.
I'd like to comment on how that helps older people. As I said, a few years ago when I went into WorkBC office and I said, you know, I wanted to get help with finding new employment. You know, I've retired as in a nutrition field, but because part of my work career, I was working with an injury. I'd had a substantial back injury, so I didn't have that big stack of retirement money, pension, big pension, because the person was saying, oh, from your job title and, you know, where you were working, you should have a pretty large pension. And I still say, If the province has the idea that people who are over 65 should, not have to work because of their pensions, please send them. Let me send them my rent and my other bills. But it's a whole different attitude now. I find that the people that are at the centers, they welcome older people, they welcome seniors, they welcome people that have a challenge. Things beyond the blue chair. There's some things that they said everything can't be the blue chair. There are people that have hidden disabilities. So, and I want to caution myself again about saying disabilities. They have hidden challenges, hidden things that make it difficult for them to do the types of work that they might have done at another time, but maybe really brilliant illustrators, but just need a type of drawing pen or need a tool that will allow them to do that. So, I think being able to come into a place where there's, well, this is what I was going to make about the age. Everything's changed. There were a couple of years that I was doing more poetry and webcasting and not having to really use the computer, use the programs that I used to use when I was doing health programs. I had PowerPoints and all those things, and everything changed in Microsoft Word. And I found the patience, rather than sometimes when you ask a person, oh, can you show me again where you do a PowerPoint? Or can you show me again where I do this? And they take your phone from your hand, they do it, they hand it back to you, and then say, oh, I showed you that. That's like my grandson. I'm talking about your grandson. But what I found working with Computer Comfort, both with Paul and Curtis, they're very patient. And one of the things I said, I need to relearn Microsoft Word. I did so many things with it, but it's changed. I need to learn how to work between Google, because if you create a document in Word and it's longer than a certain amount, Google sends it to you, but Google sends it to the person as a Google document. So then you have to learn how to work with those documents. And so they've just the patience and understanding what I'm, and I've observed it not just for myself, but seeing how they work with other people, absolute patience and looking at, okay, well, let's focus on understanding this, or let's focus on seeing what else you have in your laptop. I had a lot of stuff, pictures, all kinds of stuff. It was squeezing my poor little laptop nearly to death. But what I've observed happening with other people during their time, or what I've observed with people who come to work at a workstation independently, it's just the seriousness. I'd say Disneyland is not the happiest place in the world. The happiest place in the world is Neil Square Computer Comfort. Just, it's such a difference from going places where people are kind of judging you for your age or saying, well, at this point in life, you shouldn't have to be worrying about that. At this point in life, many things have changed for many people. I mean, look at what's happened with people with the tragedies of the fires and what's happened with floods. People who might have their whole lifetime's savings, earnings, gone. And it's just helpful to know that there's a place you can go when you've got to start back over, or you have to get up to date with what the fast people are doing, that there's a place that it can happen. And it happens fairly. It's not, you don't have to have been the son of the daughter of the owner. It just happens fairly. I think having observed the process and having had the contrast, observing a lot of other kind of processes for helping people. This is not like the social services. It's not like places where you go and feel less than when you are describing your needs or working on a plan. It's really a fair place that's just so enlightening, so elevating. And note that another part of what you do is a word that I love, networking. That you do networking. I'm old enough to remember when networking first started in Toronto. And I was a part of one of those networking groups. So when I saw in LinkedIn your post networking, I said, tell us about what you're doing with networking.
Sure, thanks. And Charlotte, I got to tell you, I really appreciate how you framed how we treat people here at Neil Squire. That made me sit back and and smile because it's that would, I don't think you could have said anything kinder. Because that's really how our staff is around here, is understanding that we're bringing value to people, and there is no room for judgment, right? And we focus on, well, we know people come here because they can't do something. We focus on what they can do and help them achieve that. So thank you for saying that. Networking, yeah, it's a big part of my role. I'm a member of four chambers of commerce or boards of trade, Burnaby, Greater Vancouver, Surrey, and the Tri-Cities Chamber of Commerce. I'm a member of a very specific networking organization called BNI, which is Business Network International. And it's really what I do for a living. There's two things I do for a living, really, in my role with the WorkBC Assistive Technology Services Program. One is network, and two is educate people on the program and the services we provide and how to connect to it. So most of the people that I meet is through some sort of networking or business event, whether it be an open house or a webinar, a seminar, a guest speaker, a pure networking event with one of these chambers or boards of trade. That's really a lot of the work I do in the community. And then on the WorkBC Employment Center side, I'm involved with educating the 102 WorkBC Center staff on how this program works for their clients that their staff is seeing.
Well, that's marvelous. And in Vancouver, do you have where would people find out about your networking meetings or where you would be appearing?
Yeah, so if it's a BNI, the business networking group specifically, we meet Wednesday mornings on one the first and third Wednesdays of the month is usually when we're in person, and we're at we just moved our venue to the False Creek Yacht Club, and then the other Wednesday mornings, and we start at 6:45 in the morning, we're on Zoom. So we have what's called a hybrid group. So people can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just find Nate Toves from Neil Squire, and send me a message about networking in the Lower Mainland, and I'd be happy to connect you. And then the Chamber of Commerce and Boards of Trade, if you go to their any of their websites, again, Greater Vancouver Board of Trade, Burnaby Board of Trade, the Surrey Board of Trade, or the Tri-Cities Chamber of Commerce, if you go to their website and look at their event calendar, you can see the different events that are happening throughout the different throughout the month. They usually book out 1 to 2 months in advance. And boards of trade and chambers of commerce are amazing because, you know, they're really the conduit from the businesses to the community, and from the businesses to levels of government and the bureaucrats that are creating policy and you know, trying to make a better life for all of us, whether it's, you know, regulatory issues for business people or programs for the citizens in British Columbia. So boards of trade and chambers of commerce are really important. I've met some amazing people in my years of networking in those circles.
I've had some amazing experiences with boards of trade. It seems that there are also opportunities or ways for the public to support Neil Squire Society. What are some of those ways, or how would people contact you if they want to know how can they be supportive?
Yeah, 100%. So you can always contact us through our website, neilsquire.ca. There's a contact us area. People can again find me on LinkedIn, Nate Tove, spelled T-O-E-V like victory and S like Smith, or Sista, as we just joked about, because you're Sista Charlotte, and I love that. And then I throw out my email address is Nate T. NATET at neilsquire.ca. I field questions about our programs from people all the time. So there's a variety of ways to interact with us. We're a charitable organization, so if you're out in listener land there and you're planning some giving for 2025, we'd love to earn the right to get your donations. You do get a charitable tax receipt for anything over $20. Go to neilsquire.ca under programs and see all the different stuff that we're doing. We have an assistive technology help desk that's ran out of our office on the East Coast in Atlantic Canada, out of New Brunswick. We have an employment program connecting employers to people that have a disability. And while they may have a disability, we focus way more on the ability. And because the assistive technology is the magic tool that helps level the playing field as best as possible to help that individual, again, minimize or overcome their work-related barriers. We have the computer comfort training program you and I were talking about, Charlotte, that you're a participant in. We have Makers Making Change, which is a social impact organization that uses 3D printing and AutoCAD design to design all sorts of different solutions for kids with disabilities, seniors with disabilities, or seniors that are don't may not necessarily identify as having a disability, but they have some sort of barrier to opening a water bottle or using a key to open their lock. So if you go to Makers Making Change, you can see all sorts of cool things that we create using 3D printing. And then I guess, and there's a few other things, man, we could go on. But the other thing that we have here in Burnaby is the Neil Squire Hearing Solutions.
I was
So
just going to ask you about
I knew you were, right? So if you're somebody that needs hearing aids or would like to at least get your ears tested or your ears cleaned, we do that here in Burnaby. Again, go to our website, neilsquire.ca, and go to programs and find Neil Squire Hearing Solutions, or just go to Google and enter Neil Squire Hearing Solutions, and we've got our own dedicated website for that. And either call in to book an appointment, or I think you can also book an appointment online for a hearing test, which is free. Should your ears need cleaning, that's free. And if you need hearing aids, we'll be able to get you hearing aids at a reduced cost because it is being operated as a nonprofit.
I want to thank you today, Nate, for taking time to talk with us, share what you do, the many hats that you wear. You could have an accordion hat, but you wear them well. You wear them with a smile and with so much information given to people who are recipients after they're in a program, to the people out ahead of time, the people working at the Work BC centers that you encourage and help to know about the programs, that you just are genuinely there. And I want to thank you for stopping and expressing the different ways that you care and just helping people to understand how Neil Squire has been revolutionizing the lives of Canadians with disabilities since 1984 through accessible and adaptive technology.
Well, thank you, Charlotte, and I really appreciate this opportunity to share with you. And I've really enjoyed the opportunity and enjoyed the chat. And you are a true pro as a radio interviewer. I've really enjoyed it today, and I'm grateful that you invited me on today.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Okay, we have heard from that interview with Nate Tolles about the historical establishment of accessible pathways not ventured upon, the ways that we have expanded into the possible. Three programs that are part of this expansion are Computer Comfort, Creative Employment, and Hearing Solutions. Right now, I'm going to introduce to you Curtis Lawson, who is a brilliant educator, trainer, and speaker for the Computer Comfort Program. Welcome, Curtis.
Thank you, Charlotte. So my name is Curtis Larson. I am a computer technician and education assistant in the Neil Squire Society's Computer Comfort Program. In our program, what we do is we offer one-on-one digital literacy tutoring for individuals who identify as having a disability or are low income. These digital literacy sessions cover everything from the basics of being able to navigate computers or phones all the way up to using like specialized or specific assistive technology, software or hardware, and everything in between. Also, as part of the program, we are able to arrange for the provision of a refurbished computer at no cost, which our clients are free to keep following the conclusion of the tutoring sessions. And in addition to that, we are able to provide ongoing technical support for the provided computer.
What are some examples of technical support? Some people this is hearing, wow, that happens. Can you give an example of some of the types of technical assistance?
Sometimes it's as simple as like someone is prompted to update an app and they're not entirely sure how to go about doing that. Other times it's some extremely niche edge case that takes me like an hour to pin down the exact cause for to fix, you know, some weird driver issue. But yeah, there's I would say most of it is small things that can be addressed within like 5 minutes, but yeah, there are definitely times where it can take longer than expected.
And you know, we like to talk about strengths rather than disabilities, that you enable people to find and use their strengths to accomplish things. One of the things for me, I'm experienced. I mean, when I worked in public health, I was using the computer all the time. In a period following my injury and not working with that thing, it's like I got a refurbished computer and the world changed. Microsoft had changed a lot of things, and there is this thing that is a challenge. Sometimes when you have to create a password, put it in a locker. What do you do with helping people with some of those specific changes that have happened with things that used to be familiar, like Microsoft or Google?
With a lot of new technology, like because the raised requirements, like there's an increased need to be able to have this digital access. And yeah, definitely as part of that comes just like an added kind of like cognitive overhead of like having to manage all of these passwords, having to worry about account security and, you know, people's understandable hesitancy for, you know, anything banking or finance related being added to the computer. For much of that, I mean, we do go through like how to use specific, for instance, like management programs like Google Password Manager or things of that nature. And otherwise, we really try to equip people with the skills to kind of find the answers on their own. So like we can give people training that will, you know, impart upon them the knowledge for how to use things. But it's really the skills building up, like them being able to look online to find those same answers on their own, like continuing independence past the conclusion of the sessions is how we best address that.
One of the things I'd like to address is just your patience. The experience a lot of people, whether they're older people or people that have a physical challenge, you hand the person your phone or you ask them to help them to upload something, and they take your phone and they start making the changes. And then a couple of days later, when a person like it happens a lot of times with people, they take the phone of the person, put it in. And then if you ask again in a couple of days, they said, I showed you. But my experience is the patience that you have and that you never take my phone. You have me while I'm going through something, do it. And just in being in the client room, just observing the different people that are working with a counselor, that patience prevails. How do people get in touch with this program? We've observed that, you know, not everybody is like me, a nosy kid who looks at all the things on the wall. So if they're just hearing about this, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch would be to reach out to myself or the manager of the Computer Comfort Program, Munesh. So they can head to our website, which is neilsquire.ca. We have a page for the Computer Comfort Program where our contact information is listed, but otherwise just a direct email, phone call to our front desk, ask for Curtis, a self-referral in order to get the ball rolling for the intake process is all we require. So if you're hearing this and you know someone or you yourself are interested, don't hesitate to just give us a call.
Thank you. Also connecting you with CJSF has a training program where people can get trained on any aspect of radio and then are able to get a show through showing up, but picking which area they like. Sometimes people hear radio and they just think of a host, but there are other things related to radio. Something as simple as listening to music, being one of the people that picks music, being able to listen to music. There's a connection to another service that you'll be hearing about, the hearing program. So, Curtis, is there any other thing that you'd like for people to know about the program? Oh, the hours. What are the hours? These are different from what people find sometimes at other centers.
So this program is held during our office hours. So we have them in person from 9 to 5. Typically, these sessions run for 2 hours once a week, where we have a 5-10 minute break in the middle of the session. We do also offer distance computer comfort. So for people who are otherwise unable or it's not convenient for them to come into our Burnaby office, they can attend these same styled sessions remotely over Zoom. We try to stay flexible that way.
It sounds like you have so many things that can help answer people's dreams. And thank you for taking the time to come on today and talk with us about the expanded worlds of Neil Squire.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Charlotte.
Okay, I see next we have Kaki Wong, who is the Creative Employment Options Specialist. Good morning, Kaki.
Hey, morning, Charlotte. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I love one thing in the word, creative. I am a writer, and sometimes people have had the experience of people wanting to do things that they say are serious, but you embrace creativity. So will you tell us about your program?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Creative Employment Options Program is a unique and comprehensive participant-centered program designed to help individuals develop the skills they need to achieve their employment goals. So our program is unique in that it's participant-centered, highly individualized, comprehensive, and flexible. There's a team of case managers, career facilitators, and job developers that will support participants during their time in the program. And we are nationwide, so we have offices in BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, PEI. So no matter where you are in the country, we're likely to have an office that can provide services either in person or virtually to you.
Maybe you could share with us some of the options, that creative options that people that you've proceeded with people.
Like I was saying, our program is individualized. We try to help individual people find work that they're interested in. So, it could be something like working in an office or a nonprofit, or it could be someone that wants to have their own business as a dog walker or anything in between. So we, just try to tailor our services and help people find work in areas that they're that they're interested in. If they're not quite sure, we can also help them do some assessments and do some career exploration to help them identify possible career paths or occupations that, you know, fit their skill set and interests.
It sounds like it would cost a lot.
Yeah, no, actually our services are all free for eligible individuals, so there's no cost at all.
I am impressed by the case management work a person gets. For example, creating a pitch. If there are some people who don't have traditional work but might have had a creative occupation, they might have been a writer, a singer, etc., and have no idea of how to get going. Can you tell us about how you help with developing a pitch or any of the creative things you do to help creative people get out there looking for and having opportunities to be interviewed?
Yeah. So we do recognize, right, like the job market is changing. It's not always traditional work, you know, where you send in an application online and then you get the job. A lot of people nowadays, they want to be self-employed or work for themselves. So for people that, you know, are interested in doing that, maybe for something more creative, we can help them, you know, figure out what value they can bring or what value they can offer for maybe their creative endeavors. Maybe it's delivering informational workshops for health and nutrition or guided nature walks. And then we try to identify, you know, what benefits those things have, and then the right places, the right people, right organizations to offer those services to, and, you know, help them do outreach to those places sometimes, you know, if that's what it calls for that person.
I want to give a kind of a personal testimonial. I am an older person in my a word that starts with S, but I've had different parts in my life where I've worked with someone that was supposed to be an employment counselor. I had a injury within the workplace, a head injury, and I had a person from the work source, which was a government agency, that was mean, you know, relatively mean to me because it didn't really search or have in the bag of tricks the things of looking at, well, what is the person able to do? I think you look at the word ability and then say, okay, well, after seeing the sample resume that I had written, say, well, why don't you try this or twist that or just work on that? But I've had the feeling, and I've seen other people come out from there who have the feeling that you're in the trenches with them, and that other people that are in the creative employment program, people come out smiling. I've said to somebody, Disneyland is not the happiest place in the world. Neil Squire is, and this employment service really customized to a person who has maybe invisible disabilities. Surgeries in their eye, things that people don't see, but you get into the trenches and hold people accountable. So I just am so grateful that you took time this morning to explain what you do and encourage listeners to, again, could you tell the best place or the places that they could contact you?
I would say the best place to contact us is through our website. The Creative Employment Options webpage will have the contact information for the case manager in your area. So, you know, if you're not necessarily in BC and you just want to find out the contact information for a different province, it'll all be on there. And reach out to us via email or phone, and someone from the appropriate office will get back to you and to discuss more about your interest in the program.
Well, thank you very much, Khaki Wong, for sharing time with us. And as you say, you can hear, we see that Heather, who is an audiologist and is a program manager over the hearing program. Good morning, Heather.
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks so much for having us today.
Okay. Could you explain about your program? And I know you're passionate about hearing, so maybe you could say a word about how important it is for people to have their hearing tested and not to be dismayed that if you wanted to have your hearing testing, it's going to cost you $100 or $2 when there is an opportunity to have that done through Neil Squire's hearing program.
Absolutely. I love my job because I get to test people's hearing. I get to talk about all sorts of problems with the auditory system that come up, like ringing in the ears, tinnitus, hearing loss, that sort of thing. We also do earwax removal as well, too. And a lot of the times people don't really realize what's going on with their hearing, and it's just earwax. So that's always it's always a happy ending. We also do hearing aid fittings and services surrounding hearing aids, as you know. And it's always very rewarding to be able to help someone to communicate better. And it's very rewarding to be a part of their journey towards better communication. And it's amazing how much that can open up someone's world, you know, taking away some of the effort from listening and from struggling to hear and gaining independence and being able to communicate effectively is really something special to be a part of. So I'm grateful for my position here.
And how often should a person have their ears examined?
I would recommend scheduling an appointment with an audiologist anytime there's any difficulty with your hearing. So if you're noticing any changes or any challenges, it's also kind of nice just to get a baseline assessment, you know, just to see how your hearing is currently. And anytime there is sort of a known hearing condition where we can sort of monitor the hearing over time to see if things are changing as well.
I have to say that I had a period of 6 years where my hearing was managed through every 6 months or so. I noticed my hearing would be off. If I were teaching, I couldn't hear the people in the back of the wall, so I would back of the room. So I would go to the doctor, and they would do the waterboarding. Well, I mean, that's why I picture it now. Soak me down with flooding water into my ears, and not really testing. It took finally, after 6 years of every 6 months getting this flushing by water, and me thinking, well, that's all I need to do, you know. And if it comes to a point where people are saying, you know, where I'm saying I can't hear someone, just get a prescription. And so I think people knowing that there is a better way, that there's something where you really need to get to the base of what's going on with the ear. And what are some ways that people could get in touch with you? How do people get to have a hearing test?
So we can schedule appointments over the phone or by email. All of our contact information is on our website as well. We do have a phone number, and that is 778-945-1215. And that number gets you to our audiology receptionist named Cherry. She's wonderful, and she helps people to sort of find a time that works for their schedule and our schedule, and book that initial appointment, get you set up there. You actually don't need a referral at all. You can just give us a call, and we offer a lot of those services free of charge as well, just because we want to give back to the community, and we want to be able to provide services like earwax removal and hearing assessments and make that accessible to everyone. I really do recommend it because, like you said, it's hard to know if there is sort of something else going on. It's hard to know if there is an underlying cause. And if you are having difficulty with your hearing, sometimes it's a very easy solution. But it's always worth investigating, because once you know, once you understand what's going on, I think there's a real freedom to that. There's a real power in understanding your hearing and your auditory system.
There's a real freedom. There's a just, we'd say, nobody does that. I mean, I've told people, and they think that's unbelievable because people hear a lot of commercials from an internet company that you don't have to spend a lot of money for hearing aids. For $99, you can get these hearing aids. They're just, you know, no plug-ins, no exam. And for people to not be tempted to take use, you know, that approach, because once you've had a hearing test, you know what's going on in either ear. And I just wanted you to express how important it is for people to have this a specific test designed for them, and then to have an agency like Neil Squire that helps you get the hearing aid that you need, that's designed for you. And beyond that, this is something I've said, 6 years of going to the traditional medical system, never had anyone say, come back in a week, we want to test you with the device, and then come back for another time, and not say, here's the bill for coming back, but that is a part of your service.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like you said, there's a lot of unknown when it comes to ordering something online. And I know that there's a lot of options these days, a lot of advertisements for devices that aren't necessarily tailored to the individual. But it's something that if you're not getting a proper test from an audiologist first, there may be some underlying conditions or there may be something that's not not known otherwise, and it may kind of fly under the radar. And I think it's always a good idea to make sure that you're fully investigating to make sure there's nothing concerning, you know, nothing beyond what we'd usually expect to see. Make sure that device is tailored for you as well too. So it never hurts to just sort of get a hearing assessment first, get the information, and then you can make a decision that works for you. And as a nonprofit organization, there is no pressure. You know, we never want to make anyone feel pressured to proceed with any kind of a device or a treatment that they're not absolutely ready for and feel very comfortable with. But yeah, everyone's needs are very different. And that's why I always say come in for an appointment, because then I get to learn their needs, you know, be able to answer their questions and kind of go from there, find an approach together. Because those devices online really aren't appropriate for everyone and often don't meet people's needs in the way that a proper treatment plan can.
And how is the hearing program that you have connected to the assistive devices program?
We're a hearing clinic, and we function with a lot of different funding sources. And one of those funding sources is WorkBC Assistive Technology Services. And you probably you talked with Nate about that, and he can definitely give lots more information about that program. But as far as hearing aids go, a lot of people, if you're working and if you have a need for hearing aids in order to perform your duties at work, you may be eligible for funding through the WorkBC Assistive Technology Services program. And that's actually quite a lot of people. So I think people should kind of keep that in mind. And we always look, as audiologists, we always look at every possible funding source for someone. We're always trying to save you money wherever we can. And that's a great way.
That is a great way. So we've heard three things people don't have to worry about, three things that can assist people in finding a job, maintaining their job, learning new skills, just being able to enjoy life. So thank you so much, Heather. And at another point, we might have a program just all about hearing. And thanks to each of you for taking time to be with us on the Saluwa Show, where my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. And when people ask me what time it is, the show is heard every week at 10. But when they ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem.